Accessibility and Inclusion in Outdoor Education and Recreation, a guide for outdoor providers and educators, full text Word document version. Adapted in 2025 by accessible format service Blind Low Vision New Zealand, Auckland. There are three logos at the top of the page. On the left, Sport, New Zealand, Ihi Aotearoa. In the middle, Recreation Aotearoa. And on the right, Education Outdoors New Zealand. Note, the full guidance document PDF is published on the Sport New Zealand website. Click on the link https://sportnz.org.nz/resources/accessibility-and-inclusion-in-the-outdoors/. Contents. Introduction. Disability in Aotearoa New Zealand. Disability language. Diversity, equity and inclusion. Important considerations for inclusion. Guiding frameworks and mindsets. Organisational policies. Inclusion training. For outdoor providers. Websites and marketing. Registration forms. Clear communication. Tailoring your activities. Overnight camps. Reflect and ask for feedback. For schools and educators. Making the outdoor classroom accessible to all. Working with ākonga and whānau. Advocating for inclusive education outside the classroom, school-based outdoor activities and camps. Resources. Case studies, funding, training opportunities, disability organisations, inclusive outdoor organisations, further reading and guidance, acknowledgements. Introduction. In Aotearoa, New Zealand, we are surrounded by an outstanding natural environment. It is vital that all tamariki in rangatahi have the opportunity to access these outdoor spaces, regardless of their age, gender, sexuality, location, ethnicity or ability. This will foster a lifelong connection to the whenua and enhance their overall quality of life. This resource helps to break down barriers, both real and perceived, for disabled tamariki and rangatahi by supporting providers and educators to make outdoor experiences more inclusive and accessible. This guidance has been created by Sport New Zealand Ihi Aotearoa. Click on the link https://sportnz.org.nz/Education Outdoors New Zealand. Click on the link https://eonz.org.nz/ and Recreation Aotearoa. Click on the link https://www.nzrecreation.org.nz/ along with various outdoor recreation and education experts. Our aim is to make outdoor experiences more inclusive and accessible for disabled tamariki and rangatahi by providing tools and information for outdoor providers and educators. Having these experiences for our kids is huge. Our kids miss out on so much. They want to be involved. They want to be in the outdoors. They want to be doing what every other child their age is doing. Any support, big or little, makes such a difference in the lives of our children. Parent on an inclusive camp with Whenua Iti Outdoors. Click on the link https://www.whenuaiti.org.nz/. This guidance has been informed by frameworks, knowledge and information specific to the local context. We acknowledge and celebrate the role of Mātauranga Māori, Māori knowledge, Te Tiriti o Waitangi and Te Ao Māori, the Māori world. Disability in Aotearoa, New Zealand. 1 in 4 New Zealanders identify as disabled, including 11% of young people under the age of 15. The United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities defines disability as a long-term physical, mental, intellectual, or sensory impairment. These impairments, combined with various barriers, can prevent people from fully participating in society. This definition sees disability not as an identity, but rather as people's experience of their impairments and the barriers they face, and is referred to as the social model of disability. This is in contrast to the previously accepted medical model of disability, which suggests a person's impairment is the barrier and therefore the impairment is what is in need of fixing. outdoor education and recreation practitioners can use the social model of disability to focus on removing barriers in activities rather than assuming accommodations are impossible, as the medical model suggests. People's experience of disability is highly varied and can be influenced by the 1. Nature of their impairment, and 2. Types of barriers they face, which can be compounded by their gender, age, ethnicity and culture. Just over half of all disabled people in New Zealand experience more than one type of impairment. Common types of impairment include the following. Many impairments are invisible and can't be easily identified by others, and some people who experience an impairment may not identify as being disabled. Disability occurs when 1. People with impairments are excluded from places and activities most of us take for granted. 2. Infrastructure and systems do not accommodate their diverse abilities and needs. And 3. People's attitudes prevent people with impairments from being able to participate in society on an equal basis with non-disabled people. Learn more about the social model and the medical model of disability. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/438HHA55. Disability in sport and recreation. The Active New Zealand survey, click on the link https://tinyurl.com/5DA48CSC, captures the responses of more than 30,000 New Zealanders and allows us to understand more about the experiences of disabled people when it comes to participating in sport and recreation. From the survey, we know the following. 1. Disabled young people are much less likely to be confident or consider themselves to be good at physical activity than non-disabled people. A. I feel confident to take part in physical activity, 49% compared to 70%. And B. I'm good at lots of different physical activities, 55% compared to 72%. 2. 66% of disabled young people would like to be more physically active. 3. Disabled young people are less likely to participate in physical activity in outdoor locations, for example, beach, lake, bush, footpaths, than non-disabled young people, 35% compared with 45%. And 4. 1 in 5 disabled young people would like to try or do more tramping or bushwalks. Source: Active New Zealand Data 2023. Disability language. When talking about disability, it is important to be aware of the language we use, its historical and social context, and how this may affect a person's sense of inclusion. Some people may experience fear and anxiety around using the correct language. This guidance aims to reduce or remove that anxiety by providing information about commonly used words and terms. 1. Disabled people or people with impairments is currently accepted best practice in Aotearoa New Zealand. 2. Tangata Whaikaha, click on the link https://tinyurl.com/2x5yx6kd, is a term that has been embraced by some disabled Māori. Whaikaha is a strength-based word that means to have ability or to be enabled. 3. Always be respectful of individual language preferences. 4. If in doubt, use the language of the person with lived experience. And 5. Language is ever evolving. Continue to learn and respond to change. Disabled person versus person with a disability. For this resource, we used disabled person rather than person with a disability. The term disabled person is used by Whaikaha, the Ministry of Disabled People. Click on the link https://www.whaikaha.govt.nz/ and acknowledges the social model of disability. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/2bm9jesf. This states that a person does not have a disability, they have an impairment. An impairment only becomes a disability when a person is unable to participate fully in society due to physical, social, or systemic barriers. Therefore, people are disabled by society's inability to cater to their needs. The biggest thing I've learned this week is that it's not a bad thing to be disabled. This week, I've become more confident in talking to a group of people and being myself. Going forward, I want to remember how good I felt about myself this week at camp and stay strong. Participant from the Halberg Foundation's Outdoor Recreation Camp. Click on the link https://halberg.co.nz/. Diversity, equity and inclusion. As well as being inclusive, it is important that recreation and education organisations commit to upholding diversity and equity so that programs and opportunities are accessible and representative of Aotearoa New Zealand's communities. Common definitions of diversity, equity and inclusion, DEI, are discussed below. Diversity. Diversity includes the different characteristics, backgrounds and perspectives that people bring. When organisations reflect the communities they serve, they can better understand and meet the needs of those communities. Increasing diversity often requires specific actions to address existing and historical inequalities, like actively encouraging disabled people to apply for a role. Equity. Equity means recognising that people start from different places in society, and those who have faced disadvantages might need extra help to get fair outcomes. Simply providing equal support may not be enough for everyone to succeed. Justice involves fixing the root problems and removing the barriers that cause inequity. Inclusion. Inclusion means creating a space where everyone, especially underserved and marginalised groups, feels welcome, safe and able to participate fully. It involves taking active steps and offering choices that ensure everyone feels they belong. Learn more about diversity, equity and inclusion. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/3y6pyk9z. Important considerations for inclusion. Being inclusive does not mean you have to have all of the answers. It's about creating safe, welcoming environments and valuing each participant as an individual. Experiences of disability are numerous, so it's important never to make assumptions about what is and isn't accessible. Respecting the individual's experience and involving them in the decision-making process is essential for designing an experience that will work for them. There are different ways to help participants feel a sense of belonging. What matters most is providing choices and asking what works best for them. 1. Inclusion is when you create spaces and activities that allow everyone to participate together. 2. Integration is when participants with individual needs are included in the mainstream setting, but the environment or activity is adapted specifically for them. And 3. Safe spaces are tailored environments outside of the mainstream setting that cater to participants. When none of these choices are given, participants are excluded. Exclusion marginalises individuals, denying them access and participation. By providing choice and listening to everyone's individual needs, we can ensure a positive experience for all participants. Guiding frameworks and mindsets. You can use the following frameworks as guidance in being more inclusive of disabled people. Start small, learn and build from here. Understand someone's holistic well-being through Te Whare Tapa Whā. Te Whare Tapa Whā, click on the link https://mentalhealth.org.nz/te-whare-tapa-whā, created by Sir Mason Dury, is a Māori well-being model that emphasises the balance of different aspects of a person's well-being. The model likens well-being to a house that stands strong only when all parts are balanced, with the whenua, land, as its foundation, highlighting the importance of a strong connection to the land. Apply a person-centred approach through mana taiohi. Mana taiohi, click on the link https://arataiohi.org.nz/mana-taiohi/, developed by Ara Taiohi. Click on the link https://arataiohi.org.nz/, is a framework of 8 principles that inform how we can work with young people to uplift their mana, intrinsic value and authority. It centres the individual and encourages us to recognise their mana by considering their Māori, life spark, whakapapa, heritage, hōnonga, connections and te ao, world. These principles help guide positive youth development in Aotearoa New Zealand, including in outdoor activities. Advocate for recreation as a human right with United Nations Article 30. Article 30 of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, click on the link https://tinyurl.com/YVUA2XZB, states that disabled people have the right to take part in recreational, leisure and sporting activities. This right should be supported by encouraging disabled children and young people to engage in mainstream activities to the fullest extent possible. Recognise and respond to different types of ableism. Ableism is the discrimination against disabled people due to biases that favour able-bodied individuals. It can range from hostile ableism, such as aggressive behaviour and exclusion, to benevolent ableism, which sees disabled people as weak or in need of rescue, undermining their autonomy. Some forms of ableism are subtle and deeply ingrained in society, making them difficult to address. A recent study from Massey University, click on the link https://tinyurl.com/224cnbbu, found that ableist attitudes are a major barrier to young people participating in sports and recreation. Addressing these attitudes could significantly increase participation by removing these barriers. Champion self-determination through enabling good lives. Enabling good lives. Click on the link https://www.enablinggoodlives.co.nz/about-egl/egl-approach/principles/ is an equity framework designed to give disabled people more choice and control over the support they receive and how they live their lives. Created by disabled people, it aims to shift power to them. The framework is based on the following 8 principles. 1. Self-determination. Disabled people are in control of their lives. 2. Beginning early. Be aspirational for disabled children in building community and independence. 3. Person-centred. Tailor support to individual needs and goals. 4. Ordinary life outcomes. Disabled people are supported to live an everyday life in everyday places and are regarded as citizens. 5. Mainstream first. Disabled people are supported to access mainstream services before specialist disability services. 6. Mana enhancing. The abilities and contributions of disabled people and their families are recognised and respected. 7. Easy to use. Disabled people have supports that are simple to use and flexible. And 8. Relationship building. Supports available build and strengthen relationships between disabled people, their whānau and community. Organisational policies. By developing and sharing a DEI policy, you will help everyone in your organisation understand how they can contribute to an inclusive environment. This may require open conversations within your organisation to address attitudes or beliefs that restrict access to outdoor education or activities for some people. Diversity, Equity and Inclusion Policy Templates. 1. For recreation organisations, view the Sport NZ DEI Policy Template Policy. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/5EPFSSDW. And 2. For education providers, view the information for schools about legal obligations for inclusion. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/48NYJ33F. As well as policies, your safety systems and processes should be inclusive and address the relevant supports needed. Inclusion training. Building staff confidence by providing training will allow DEI policies to be more successful and meaningfully implemented in your organisation. 1. Helberg Inclusion Training. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/56FKCY7X. The Helberg Foundation offers in-person training to help schools and recreation organisations create inclusive environments. 2. Sport Tutor Inclusion Training. Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/mr3medc. A free online module for support and recreation organisations to learn about inclusion as a response to discrimination. 3. AdventureWorks Inclusion Practices for Outdoor Leaders Micro-Credential. A part-time qualification over 8 weeks with online learning and a face-to-face workshop. 4. Education Presentations by Making Tracks Foundation. Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/mu2ape5b. Independent organisation Making Tracks provides customised online and in-person presentations to promote inclusion in adventure tourism and travel. For outdoor providers, this section contains information and guidance to support outdoor recreation providers and centres to improve their inclusive practice. Websites and marketing. For many individuals, schools and community groups, visiting your website is the first engagement they will have with your organisation. Try to ensure your website is welcoming, digitally accessible and contains clear information about what you can offer. The following resources can support organisations to improve their website accessibility. 1. The Venture Outdoors Toolkit to Success. Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/yrr89drv. An initiative from Outscape. Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/3kn7mfrh. Supporting outdoor providers to create accessible websites and publications. And 2. How to design an accessible website. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/bdz65nnb, a guide developed by DreamHost. Inclusive intent. Including information about your organization's inclusive intent on your website and promotional material lets participants, community groups, schools, and CUDA know you're proactive in your approach to supporting all people to participate. This can be achieved by developing a statement of inclusive intent, an accessibility statement, or an inclusivity page on your website. It may also be useful to link to your DEI policy. Examples of outdoor providers showcasing their inclusive intent are given below. 1. AdventureWorks, Making Outdoor Education Inclusive. Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/myj4y8j. And 2. Outward Bound, About Us. Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/4ftx86c9. And Adapted Courses. Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/WH2MW7TA. How to develop a statement of inclusive intent. 1. Be open and honest. Acknowledge where you are in your inclusivity journey and communicate this clearly. It's okay to be at the start of your journey. 2. Set realistic expectations. You don't have to promise the world, just state your commitment to inclusivity and describe what you are currently doing in this area. 3. Specify your services. Clearly state what services you offer and to whom so people can make informed decisions about their own participation. 4. Provide examples. Share examples of groups you've supported and mention any adaptive equipment you have or instructor training you have completed. 5. Highlight feedback. Use testimonials and reviews to demonstrate your commitment to inclusivity. 6. Commit to continually learning. Show your dedication to understanding more about the individuals you're wanting to include by offering site visits, pre-meetings, and collaborating with other organisations for support, such as the Helberg Foundation. Click on the link, https://helberg.co.nz/train/inclusion-training/. Marketing images. If you have an inclusive program or are delivering an activity for specific impairments, show this in your promotional material. Click on the link, https://sportnz.org.nz/accessibility/marketing-accessibility/, to give participants confidence. Aim for positive, empowering images of people with a range of impairment types, participating in different activities so that as many people as possible can feel represented in your organisation. Consider alt text. Include descriptive alt text in all images on websites, flyers, and published material. 2. Social media. Include all relevant information from flyers in the body of social media posts. Click on the link https://sportnz.org.nz/accessibility/social-media-accessibility/, not just in the image. 3. Design. Flyers should be uncluttered, use plain language, and have good colour contrast. Registration forms. Registration forms help you understand and meet the needs of participants. Use these prompts to gather the right types of information. 1. Registration forms are not a medical information gathering exercise. Instead, ask how to keep the participants safe and happy, and how to create quality and empowering experiences. You do not need specific information about a person's impairment. 2. Ask strengths-based questions. Phrase questions to highlight how to create a great experience for the participant rather than focusing on their impairment. 3. Customize your forms. Tailor registration forms to your organization and the specific activities, considering necessary information, risks, hazards, and support. And 4. Ask everyone. Ask about accessibility needs for everyone, not just those with visible impairments. Anyone could have preferences that would enhance their experience. Examples. 1. Adventure Works Functional Ability Questionnaire. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/YCKARETK. And 2. Recreate New Zealand. Become a participant form. Click on the link https://www.recreate.org.nz/become-a-participant for young people with an intellectual impairment. Once you have received the participant information, remember to allow time to develop a clear plan that responds to the needs of your participants. This will need to outline how you will work together with that person and the community group, school, and or whānau to ensure they are supported. This might include changes to equipment, location, timing, or the staff required, so planning is vital. Clear communication. Providing one point of contact with a phone number can be helpful because participants and/or their support networks may have questions or concerns they would prefer to talk through in advance. SportNZ has produced guidance on creating accessible documents. Click on the link https://sportnz.org.nz/accessibility/document-accessibility to support sport and recreation organisations to develop clear documents for participants, including information on how to add alternative text to images. Communication before the activity. 1. Share the full experience. Provide details about the entire journey, including arrival and orientation, not just the main activity. 2. Provide opportunities for orientation. Allow time for participants to orient themselves to new environments and identify boundaries, trip hazards, equipment and distances. This helps maintain the participants' autonomy. 3. Use visual aids. Where possible, offer video introductions, site maps, and images to help participants prepare. This will also help schools and groups in creating social stories. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/ZBUYBZ72. 4. Simplify your gear lists. Use plain language. Click on the link https://capire.co.nz/resources/use-plain-language-in-your-writing/, and include pictures with captions explaining the equipment needed. 5. Provide program timings. Share schedules in advance, including break times and meals. This is important for participants who need to manage their energy levels or plan medication around mealtimes. Consider if you can be flexible with these times if needed. 6. Consider nonverbal communication. Check you have understood the participant's needs and planned how to communicate during the session. For example, if you'll communicate with a thumbs up rather than verbally, maintaining a good line of sight during the activity is vital. And 7. Create a list of FAQs. A list of frequently asked questions about your activity can help with communication and support future interactions with schools and community groups. Communication during the activity. 1. Display a clear plan or timetable. Have a visible timetable with pictures and visual aids for participants to follow and engage with. 2. Communicate changes promptly. Try to stick to the agreed plan, but if changes are necessary, communicate these as soon as possible. This information is particularly important for participants who are managing their energy levels or taking medication. Flexibility may be required to ensure the safety of participants, such as allowing some participants to break sooner. Proactively sharing what you offer will build confidence in your ability to provide quality experiences, making it easier for groups to collaborate with you. 1. Build trust. Establishing trust with individuals or organizations may take time, especially if they have had negative past experiences with providers. Having clear and accessible information available will help them feel more confident about what you can offer. 2. Clarify roles and resources. Clearly outline what you provide. For example, beach wheelchair, accessible location, and what schools and/or community groups need to provide. For example, accessible transport to set clear expectations. And 3. Highlight funding opportunities. Inform schools and community groups if you have funding available to help cover costs. Tailoring your activities. When deciding how to deliver your activity, remember there is no one-size-fits-all approach to working with disabled people. Even if two people have similar impairments, they may have very different levels of experience, comfort, and confidence that affect how they would like to participate. Taking a person-centered approach will help you to plan for the individual and not the impairment. Involve participants in designing the solutions. When addressing barriers, the disabled person and their support networks are the experts. It is important to work with them rather than assume what is and isn't a barrier to participation. Assume that I can. Click on the link https://www.youtube.com/watch?app=9HPLHXM FJR8. This video highlights how negative assumptions about what's possible for disabled people can often limit someone's experience. Adventure and the right to risk. Taking considered risks is an important part of the human experience. In the outdoors, positive risk-taking contributes to an overall sense of adventure that promotes well-being and can lead to an increase in confidence. Positive risk-taking, or risk enablement, is linked to the concept of self-determination, which asserts that disabled people should be in control of how they participate. Another concept used in outdoor recreation is the challenge by choice philosophy. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/mwy5wwsz, which empowers people to personalize how they participate in an activity. Prior communication about the types of activities and choices available is vital, so people with impairments can be empowered to make decisions that are best for them. This week has been awesome, better than I could have ever expected, to be honest. I've made a lot of new friends and a lot of memories that will last me a lifetime. The abseiling and the high ropes were my favourite activities because I saw how I'm capable of getting out of my comfort zone. I want to continue to step out of my comfort zone more and more and have fun no matter what. Participant from the Helberg Foundations, click on the link https://helberg.co.nz, outdoor recreation camp. Balancing risk and safety. Your approach to risk management should be the same for all participants, regardless of their ability. find the accessible level of risk for participants to experience a degree of challenge. When adapting activities to better suit the needs of participants, consider if that adaptation still provides equity in the level of challenge it presents. For example, the safest way to support a person with an impairment when kayaking may be to use a tandem kayak. However, a single kayak with outriggers would still offer additional support while maintaining independence. Both options could be good adaptations. It depends on the individual, the environment, and the situational risks and hazards as to what solution is best. Prioritising whanaungatanga and building rapport. Allowing time for whanaungatanga and relationship building with participants and their whānau will let you make better adaption recommendations and help them to feel more comfortable in what might be an unfamiliar situation. Useful questions to ask include the following. 1. What's their idea of success in this activity or experience? 2. What excites them and what would they like to try? 3. How do they feel and react in certain environments, such as water or heights? And 4. Do they have any specific triggers to avoid or methods for de-escalation? STEP model. The STEP model is a framework that supports the inclusion of disabled people by suggesting 4 variables to consider when designing your activities. Try to approach each of the variables with flexibility and creativity when seeking out possible solutions. Remember that involving the participants when discussing potential adaptions will support better results. Consider how you would adapt the following. S for space or environment, including the surface, surroundings, size of the area, or any visual or audible distractions. T for task, or the way the activity is completed, including the time allocated, distance to be covered, speed, pace, group configuration or type of movement. E for equipment, including specialized equipment with a modified shape, weight, texture, added balance or support, sound or color. P for people and how you work with those involved in this activity, including the number of staff, size of the group or groups, and whether you use a buddy system or the support of teachers or whānau. Step model in action. Activity: paddleboarding at the beach. Group: Year 8 Akonga, including students with a range of impairments. Space: the session has been moved to a quieter area of the beach to make communication with students easier. The location has been chosen due to its closeness to public facilities, including accessible toilets. Task: more time has been allocated for students to get ready and for the activity to be explained. 2 options will be available for the distance covered and time spent on the water, allowing students to manage their energy levels. Equipment: full-length wetsuits have been provided for students who have difficulty regulating their body temperature. Extra-wide paddle boards are available to offer greater stability for students who would like this option. A beach wheelchair has been hired from the local council, and an adapted paddle board with seat and outriggers has been allocated for a student who uses a wheelchair. People: teachers are participating to support the group, and a buddy system is being used, allowing students to receive support and encouragement from their peers rather than defaulting to adult intervention. Icebreakers: set an inclusive tone from the start of your activity by using icebreakers and warm-up games that are accessible to everyone. This fosters an inclusive environment and helps build group rapport. The STEP model can help to adapt existing games or can be used to create new inclusive ones from scratch. Equipment: the range of adaptive equipment is growing to enhance accessibility in outdoor activities. Start by contacting your supplier or suppliers to see what they offer. Consider these common types of adaptive equipment. 1. Safety harness with extra padding and support. This can make activities more accessible and comfortable for people who require more support with core stability. 2. Adaptive climbing equipment. This can include chest harnesses, seat harnesses, and pulley systems that allow for self-controlled ascent. 3. outriggers for kayaks and paddle boards. These provide flexibility because they can be fitted to different equipment to increase stability as needed. 4. Seated support harnesses provide extra support for activities in seated positions such as sailing and sea kayaking. 5. Extra wide paddle boards offer increased stability and the option for staff to help participants while on the same paddle board. 6. Tandem kayaks. These tend to be wider and more stable than single-person kayaks, while also offering options for assistance. 7. Adaptive bikes and mountain bikes. Various options are available, including e-bikes, tandem bikes, which provide an option for blind or visually impaired participants, trikes, hand cycles, and more. And 8. All-terrain and specialised wheelchairs. A wide range is available, suitable for activities like bushwalking, hiking, jogging and beach trips. Cost. Some adaptive equipment can be expensive to purchase. Check what you can borrow or rent in your region and ask participants and whānau to see what they may own or know about. Contact local councils to find out about publicly available outdoor equipment such as beach wheelchairs, pool wheelchairs, hoists, beach mats and adapted paddle boards. Click on the link for council contact information about hiring adaptive water-based equipment at https://tinyurl.com/42WFR9KR. Specialised equipment isn't always necessary and makeshift solutions can make a huge difference. Work with your participants to understand what will have the biggest effect. This could be as simple as adding foam padding to a backrest or painting something in a higher contrast colour. Note that safety considerations are paramount and makeshift adaptions should never be made to vital safety equipment such as harnesses. Specialist organisations and adaptive equipment suppliers. 1. Beach Wheels NZ. Click on the link https://www.beachwheels.co.nz/. Suppliers of a range of wheelchairs, carts and accessories. Considerations for tailoring activities. 1. Make an instructor communication toolkit. Include items to make adaptions on the go, such as a portable whiteboard and marker pen for clear communication, visual cue cards for activities and instructions, coloured tape for marking equipment, and a list of inclusive games and icebreakers. 2. Plan in advance. Use the STEP model to plan your activity, including the number of staff and time needed, when you'll have breaks, and what adaptive equipment you need. 3. Practice and prepare a variety of communication styles. Try explaining activities with reduced or broken down instructions using visual and tactile modelling or a visual timetable or checklist. 4. Be mindful of additional health and safety considerations. Keeping warm, eating more regularly, water intake, toileting needs and carrying spare clothing may be important for the participant or group. And 5. Seek support where needed. Contact other inclusive practitioners to share knowledge and ideas. The chances are someone has already tried what you're considering. Overnight camps. Camping in nature with friends, whānau and peers can be hugely beneficial in allowing people to immerse themselves in the outdoors, escape from modern life, build outdoor skills and connect with others. Anyone who wants to should be able to participate in overnight camps. With advanced planning and a few considerations, this can be simple to achieve. Considerations for inclusive overnight camps. 1. Make a plan with participants, whānau and caregivers. Clearly communicate sleeping arrangements, food, medication needs, hygiene requirements, emergency contacts and other support needs to ensure a safe, surprise-free experience. 2. Aim for all activities to be inclusive. Cooking together and sitting around the campfire are important parts of the camp experience. Where possible, use inclusive seating, table arrangements and evening activities so everyone can take part together. 3. Location is important. Tent setup and orientation are crucial for accessibility. Consider extra space between tents and at entrances for ease of mobility. determine if some participants need to be closer to toilets or staff, or if they would prefer a quieter spot away from social areas. 4. Choose the right tent for the participant. Participants using wheelchairs may need tents with a flat doorway to allow easy access. Others might benefit from tents with standing room for extra space and assistance. Check with participants to see if they have a tent they are already comfortable using. 5. Support a good night's sleep. A raised camping bed or thicker mattresses can make transferring in and out of bed much easier for some participants, as well as being more comfortable. 6. Plan for hygiene requirements. If camping far from accessible toilets, you can still create accessible facilities using a fold-up commode, shower chair, portable shower, or privacy tent. Consult with participants to understand their needs and preferences. Don't assume they won't participate just because an accessible toilet isn't nearby. And 7. Accommodate guide dogs. Permitting guide dogs at camps and ensuring they are cared for while participants engage in activities can support inclusion. The scheduled social downtime was awesome. Seriously, I've been on so many camps that don't allow for that, and it's so important. Getting to break in my Braille Uno cards in the evening was fun. Getting the choice of bunkering alone or in a group was perfect. So many important and naturally occurring convos about blind life, including individualised funding and what it's like having a guide dog. Participant on Blind Sport New Zealand's Wahine Retreat. Reflect and ask for feedback. Commit to continually improving your inclusive practice by reflecting on how an activity or experience has gone and seeking feedback from the participants and their support networks. This shows you value their lived experiences and will help you refine your approach. Debriefing with staff allows you to learn from each other, make necessary improvements, and identify opportunities for further training and confidence building. For schools and educators, this section contains information and guidance to support schools and educators to improve inclusivity in outdoor education. Making the outdoor classroom accessible to all. You and your school can create life-changing experiences for young people through outdoor recreation. The Ministry of Education, alongside Education Outdoors New Zealand, click on the link https://eonz.org.nz/, strongly encourages inclusive practices in education outside the classroom, EOTC activities, so all students can participate in enriching learning experiences. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/acame4k5. This includes engaging in less familiar environments and activities in a supported way based on students' comfort levels and skills. As educators, you should be supported to access professional learning and development on inclusive practice. Education Outdoors New Zealand offers resources. Click on the link https://eonz.org.nz/professional-development/. Training and support specifically for the education sector. For information on other professional learning and development opportunities to support your inclusive practice, see the resources section. Working with ākonga and whānau. Disabled ākonga and their whānau are resourceful and have a different set of lived experiences and perspectives that are beneficial to include when planning, organising and implementing EOTC activities. Ask questions whenever possible, because the ākonga and whānau will have the best knowledge of the support they need. This also provides more autonomy in shaping their own learning experiences. See the Prioritising Whānauingatanga and Building Rapport section for prompts around questions to ask. For some rangatahi and whānau, their impairment may have been caused by a trauma. For some rangatahi and whānau, their impairment may have been caused by a traumatic incident and conversations might be triggering and evoke protective or fear responses. For some family members, what you are proposing might be something they have previously thought to be too daunting, too overwhelming or too unsafe to achieve. Careful and considered planning with whānau can be the best way to alleviate these fears. We would never dream that she would participate in rock climbing, kayaking, walking uphill with a pack on her back, etc. But she did. This certainly speaks volumes for us in terms of how her participation in the Duke of Edinburgh Award has changed her. Parent of a participant on the Duke of Edinburgh's award program at Wellington East Girls College for students with additional support needs. Advocating for inclusive education outside the classroom. Establish a shared understanding throughout the school and wider school community of the purpose and value of inclusive outdoor education and education outside the classroom, EOTC. Referring to existing case studies can be useful for introducing people to what is possible and to help shift perceptions about the ability or potential of disabled ākonga. Working with outdoor providers. Advocacy may also be required when working with outdoor providers. They may be unfamiliar with how to support disabled ākonga, which can lead to a fearful or overly cautious response to inquiries. Site visits, starting with smaller groups, or providing more teacher support can help to gradually build an understanding of what is possible between the provider and the school. However, if you ultimately don't feel supported by the provider, it's time to go elsewhere. It is important to get kids who are usually trailed by aides and parents into challenging and foreign situations. These opportunities are few and far between for my son because of his school setup, aides in every class, and our home situation. He wants to be independent. This was an opportunity to go away and challenge himself. When he returned, he was proud, more mature, and spoke confidently and comprehensively about his experiences. The stories keep coming. Parent of a participant on an adapted course with Outward Bound. When working with an external provider or outdoor centre, use this provider agreement form. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/5fdb454c to clarify roles and responsibilities. School-based outdoor activities and camps. EOTC doesn't have to involve outdoor providers or even leaving school grounds. School-based outdoor activities can help build ākonga confidence in a familiar setting before exploring further. This approach is often more effective than one-off activities because it helps normalise new outdoor experiences. Education Outdoors New Zealand's Revisioning School Camps Training. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/2s4zu6n5 supports teachers to confidently develop place-responsive and student-centred camp programs at their school grounds and further afield. Considerations for school-based activities and camps. 1. Planning should be informed by the needs of the ākonga. Include ākonga and whānau/caregiver consultation when making any adaptions to the planned activities. 2. Ensure student information is gathered and shared appropriately. Share ākonga support plans. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/5EAMSRXS with the supervision team so everyone is well informed. These can also be useful to share with external providers. Any student information should be shared and managed according to your school's privacy policy, which includes ensuring any volunteers or parents involved understand the requirements around confidentiality. 3. Adaptations can often be simple. Be creative. Keep in mind the purpose and desired outcomes of the activity and aim to create an equitable experience. 4. The supervision structure is critical. Check enough competent supervisors are available to support ākonga and that they are confident and equipped with the required skills. If training and/or professional learning and development are needed, factor this into your planning. 5. Plan for unexpected situations. Check all staff involved are confident in how to respond in an emergency or an unlikely or worst-case scenario. For example, a student who is experiencing sensory overload may need to leave the activity and move to a quiet spot away from the main group. 6. Support whānau to understand the activity. Providing social stories, Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/mr3w4szs. Photos or short videos of the activities and/or location can help students and their whānau better understand the activity. These can also help students feel more confident about their participation. Safety systems and processes. The management of outdoor activities should be consistent with the Ministry of Education EOTC guidelines and your school's own EOTC management systems. Education Outdoors New Zealand has developed an EOTC safety management plan template and toolkit. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/6sf9kua3, plus completed examples to support schools' planning processes. 1. Risk Assessment and Supervision Form. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/4vx95wuy. Identify areas needing specific strategies. For example, if a student running away is a risk, consider setting clear boundaries or choosing a more enclosed, low-risk location, for example, away from busy roads. Supervision plans should account for the environment activity, participants and equipment, and be tailored to the needs of disabled people. 2. Site/venue checklist. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/5n94nfwz. Check the location is fit for purpose for the group and include time for staff to complete any site visits early in the process to allow for changes if needed. 3. Emergency Response Guide. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/4md9aybn. Include considerations such as student accessibility requirements and main contact details in case you need advice during the event. And 4. Event Checklist. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/45x7zxed. Keep a checklist to help make sure nothing is missed in the planning process. Resources. Case studies. Case studies show what's possible and how to achieve it. They can support advocacy by highlighting the benefits of outdoor inclusion through the lived experiences of disabled people. Below are examples of inclusive outdoor activity and education programs in Aotearoa. Written case studies. 1. Arohanui Special School. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/4m3zkbsx, showcasing an inclusive EOTC program. 2. Adapting to Adventure. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/y24s2w29. Hear from two young people about their experiences of joining Scouts as wheelchair users. 3. Neurodivergent Students Excel in Duke of Edinburgh Award Program. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/3xzvxwfw. Led by Leonie King, Diversity and Inclusion Partner at Outward Bound and Volunteer Duke of Edinburgh Leader. 4. Creating Inclusive Outdoor Experiences. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/yynmajuz. The learning journey of Whenua Iti Outdoors as they become a more inclusive provider. 5. Surfs Up for Rangatahi in Taranaki. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/yt89er7u. A collaborative project between the Helberg Foundation, Aokara Board Riders, and Parafed Taranaki. Videos. 1. Recreate New Zealand Year in Review. Click on the link https://www.youtube.com/watch?v=igqilyy7zte. Showcasing the types of activities supported by Recreate New Zealand, a youth disability provider. 2. Adaptive Outward Bound. Click on the link https://www.youtube.com/watch?v=8qesmhnje9c. Outward Bound's adaptive program for adults with a physical impairment. And 3. Active Aotearoa Rock Climbing. Click on the link https://vimeo.com/71541794. A project delivered by Active, spelt with a K, and Recreate New Zealand, funded by Sport New Zealand's Tū Manawa Active Aotearoa Fund. Funding. Inclusive outdoor programs don't always cost more, and sometimes simple changes can make a big difference. If you need extra staff or specialised equipment, however, your organisation may be eligible for the following funds. 1. Helberg Activity Funds Grants. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/3cba89rk. Support young people with physical impairments aged 5 to 21 years to access physical activity opportunities, including camps. 2. Tū Manawa Active Aotearoa. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/4jjnrhc4. Funding from Sport New Zealand, distributed by Regional Sports Trusts, RSTs, to support recreation activities for tamariki and rangatahi. The fund has a priority focus on supporting participation opportunities for disabled tamariki and rangatahi. Connect with your local RST. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/23yc35pe for support on how to apply. 4. Individualised funding. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/3x9h6xb2. Person-directed funding from Whaikaha, Ministry of Disabled People, giving disabled people and their whānau more choices about how they are supported. Individualised funding can be used for respite, meaning the fund can support disabled people to participate in activities independently from their primary carer. Training opportunities. Upskilling will boost your confidence and ability to deliver high-quality experiences for disabled participants. 1. Helberg Inclusion Training. Click on the link https://helberg.co.nz/train/inclusion-training/. The Helberg Foundation offers in-person training to help schools and recreation organisations create inclusive environments. 2. Blind Sport New Zealand Awareness Training. Click on the link https://www.blindsport.kiwi/resource-and-training. A one-hour online workshop. 3. CCS Disability Action Learning Modules. Click on the link https://ccsdisabilityaction-learning.org.nz/. Offers online training options including a free taster module. 4. Sport Tutor Inclusion Training. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/mr3medc. A free online module for sport and recreation organisations to learn about inclusion as a response to discrimination. 5. AdventureWorks Inclusion Practices for Outdoor Leaders Micro-Credential. Click on the link https://www.adventureworks.co.nz/contact. A part-time qualification over 8 weeks with online learning and a face-to-face workshop. 6. Education presentation by Making Tracks Foundation. Click on the link https://www.makingtracks.co.nz/education/. Customised online and in-person presentations to promote inclusion in adventure tourism and travel. 7. Revisioning School Camps Training. Click on the link https://eonz.org.nz/resources-publications/revisioning/school/camps/. Delivered by Education Outdoors New Zealand to support schools with providing student-centred camp experiences. 8. Deaf Awareness Workshop. Click on the link https://www.deaf.org.nz/what-we-do/deaf-awareness-workshops/. A one-hour online workshop. And 9. Special Olympics Coaching Athletes with Autism. Click on the link, https://specialolympics.org.nz/coaching-athletes-with-autism/. A free online training module. Disability organisations. Specialist organisations can provide valuable support as well as connections to local networks for sharing and promoting your activity. 1. Autism New Zealand. Click on the link https://autismnz.org.nz/about-us/. Provides services, support, education and information for autistic people, their whānau, caregivers and professionals who engage with them. 2. Blind and Low Vision Education Network NZ. Click on the link https://www.blenz.school.nz/. A national network of educational services for children and young people who are blind, deafblind or have low vision. 3. Blind Citizens NZ. Click on the link https://abcnz.org.nz/. The National Advocacy Organisation for Blind People in Aotearoa, New Zealand. 4. CCS Disability Action. Click on the link https://www.ccsdisabilityaction.org.nz/. The largest disability support and advocacy organisation in Aotearoa, New Zealand. 5. Carers NZ. Click on the link https://carers.net.nz/. Offering information and support for carers. 6. Deaf Aotearoa. Click on the link https://www.deaf.org.nz/. The national organisation representing the voice of deaf people in Aotearoa, New Zealand, offering resources, training and interpreting services. 7. Disability Connect. Click on the link https://disabilityconnect.org.nz/. A disability information and advisory service based in Auckland. 8. Disabled Persons Assembly NZ. Click on the link https://www.dpa.org.nz/about-us/about-dpa. A not-for-profit, pan-impairment disabled people's organisation run by and for disabled people. 9. The Halberg Foundation. Click on the link https://halberg.co.nz/. Supporting sport and recreation opportunities for tamariki and rangatahi with physical disabilities. 10. I.lead. Click on the link https://www.ilead.org.nz/about-us/. A disabled youth movement led by youth for youth. They aim to amplify the voices of disabled young people. 11. Muscular Dystrophy Association of New Zealand Incorporated. Click on the link https://mda.org.nz/. A support group for whānau affected by neuromuscular conditions, offering resources, support, networking and advocacy. And 12. People First NZ. Ngā Tangata Tuitahi. Click on the link https://www.peoplefirst.org.nz. An organisation run by and for people with a learning disability. Inclusive Outdoor Organisations. The following list is not exhaustive, but these organisations all have experience in offering specific adapted programs or inclusive outdoor opportunities. 1. Adventure Works. Click on the link https://www.adventureworks.co.nz/inclusion. Offering outdoor leadership opportunities and training programs. 2. Adaptive Surfing New Zealand. Click on the link https://adaptivesurfingnz.org/. Information on adaptive equipment, have-a-go days, events and competitive pathways. 3. Auckland Climbing Youth Development Club. Click on the link https://www.sporty.co.nz/acydc. Inclusive climbing centre that runs youth-led programs for disabled young people. 4. Blind Sport New Zealand. Click on the link https://www.blindsport.kiwi/. The National Organisation for Blind, Deafblind and Low Vision Sport and Physical Recreation. 5. First Step Outdoors. Click on the link https://www.firststepoutdoors.com/inclusive-activities.html. Outdoor activity provider based in Waikato with experience in inclusive practice. 6. New Zealand Riding for the Disabled. Click on the link https://rda.org.nz/. A member-associated organisation of over 40 riding groups in local communities throughout Aotearoa New Zealand. 7. Outward Bound. Click on the link https://www.outwardbound.co.nz/courses/course-finder/adapted-courses/. Short courses available for people aged 13 plus years with impairments. 8. Paddle Able. Click on the link https://www.paddler.nz/paddleable. Developing an inclusive paddle community by working with clubs and providers offering education, resources, systems and equipment. 9. The ParaFed Network. Click on the link https://halberg.co.nz/club/ParaFed-network/. A group of regional organisations that provide sport and recreation opportunities for disabled people. They loan equipment and deliver sport and recreation within their local regions. 10. Recreate NZ. Click on the link https://www.recreate.org.nz/. Runs recreation programs for young people with intellectual disabilities across Aotearoa New Zealand. 12. Sailability and Blind Sailing. Click on the link https://www.yachtingnz.org.nz/resources/sailability-and-blind-sailing. Non-profit organisations around Aotearoa New Zealand that offer specialist sailing groups. 12. Scouts Aotearoa. Click on the link https://scouts.nz/. Welcomes all young people aged 5 to 26 and is committed to inclusion through its diversity and inclusion strategy, youth advisory group and inclusive resources. And 13. Whenua Iti Outdoors. Click on the link https://whenuaiti.org.nz/. Outdoor activity provider with experience in inclusive practice. Further reading and guidance. 1. Guide to Universal Design for Learning, UDL. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/3sjv6nuz. Identify potential barriers to learning and well-being and understand how to plan by using UDL. 2. How to Break Down Barriers with UDL. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/y6r8ejwn. Anticipate and address barriers to learning. 3. Guide to Dyslexia and Learning. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/3wx4ykvx. Present information in different ways using a multisensory path. Using a multisensory approach. 4. Inclusive Design for Outdoor Recreation. Click on the link https://activedisability.ie/resources/outdoors/. Guidance, checklists and self-audit tools from Active Disability Ireland. 5. The Inclusion Club. Click on the link https://theinclusionclub.com/. Podcasts, webinars and resources to share good, inclusive practice in sport and recreation for disabled participants. And 6. Inclusivity Hub. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/4r8nv5a5. Various resources for organisations and individuals wanting to start or progress on their DEI learning journey. Acknowledgements. This guidance has been developed with valuable input from the following contributors. 1. Chloe Bishop, Sport New Zealand Ihi Aotearoa. 2. Al Mackwood, Patricia Avenue Special School. 3. Fiona McDonald, Education Outdoors New Zealand. 4. Gemma Blake, Blind Sport, New Zealand. 5. Gemma King, Active. 6. Jezza Williams, Making Tracks Foundation. 7. Carla Roberts, Learn Active. 8. Katie Owen, Recreation Aotearoa. 9. Kate Parr, First Step Outdoors. 10. Kieran McKay, Recreation Aotearoa. 11. Kuruho Werata, Recreation Aotearoa. 12. Lawrence Wilkinson, The Helberg Foundation. 13. Leonie King, Outward Bound. 14. Lynn Kilpatrick, Sport Canterbury. 15. Mark Mandino, Adventure Works. 16. Natalie McNulty, Scouts Aotearoa. 17. Sonia Sutherland, New Zealand Outdoor Instructors Association. And 18. Tracy Lee Dalton, CLM Community Sport. End of Accessibility and Inclusion in Outdoor Education and Recreation, a guide for outdoor providers and educators.